So at the end of the people are not allowed. The Rambam says the Hashmonoim came, the Tivo, the Gavru, B'nei Hashmonei, HaKayhan, V'Akvaylim, the Chidore Zahanim, and they defeated the Yevonim, the Hemidu Melech from HaKayhanim, and they appointed a Melech from the Koyhanim, from the Hashmonoim, the Chazru Mauchi, where you said, Yeser al Messiah Shana, and the Malchus Yisrael lasted another 200 years until the Chum, the second Chum. So in this statement lies a very big chiddush. So my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik Zechonu Livracha pointed out that this Rambam goes against the Ramban in Chumash. The Ramban in Parshas Vayechi says that the reason why the Hashmonoim were destroyed, they were killed, they were all killed out. So it was because they were over on the laugh of Loyosu Shevet Yehuda Mechogik Min Raglov, that Malchus was given to Shevet Yehuda, and this is a laugh Loyosu Shevet Yehuda Mechogik Min Raglov, and because they took over, they became Kohanim, therefore they were punished for it. And moreover, the Ramban quotes a Yerushalmi, I think, that it's in Parshas Vayechi and his Perush Chumash, that says that the Hashmonoim could not were not allowed to become Kohanim, Melochim. The Hashmonoim were not, specifically the Hashmonoim, were not allowed to become Melochim, and therefore they were punished. But you see, the Rambam obviously held that Kohanim could become Melochim. And that's what happened. And not, moreover, the Ramban portrays the Hashmonoim a little bit in a negative way, whereas the Rambam, in fact, the Rambam seems to praise them because they saved us and they extended Malchus Yisro for another 200 years. So anyway, so this Ramban goes against the Ramban. Mainly, there's another Ramban right in the beginning. The Rambam then quotes the din of Keshegavru Yisroel al ha'oyveyem, ve'ibdum, and they destroyed them, v'chamisha v'eslem v'chodesh Kislev. It was on the 25th of Kislev. And then they found the Parshemen in the Yisroel, the Prichodash already asks the Kasha. If the Nitzochim came on the 25th, so when did they light the menorah? At night. So that's already the 26th. So we should celebrate Hanukkah not on the 25th, but on the 26th. And as a matter of fact, the Meiri, on the Sugya and Shabbos, by Hanukkah, the Miri says that the Nitzochim was on the 24th. And he makes this point. He says, and therefore we light at night, which is already the 25th. So when we start Hanukkah on the 25th, according to the Miri, it's exactly it. But according about the way everyone, the way the Rambam quotes it, that the Nitzochim was on the 25th, so the lighting of the Menorah was on the 26th. So here again, Rav Soloveitchik gave a very good teretz. You see, in Hilchos Tamidim u'Mesafim, I think that's where it is, where the Rambam discusses the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash. So there's a famous machlokes between the Rambam and the Rashbo and most of the Rambam is Matar Das Yochid. Everyone knows that you light the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash at night, that because you know. In the daytime, you don't light a menorah, but how would you know? The Rambam Shita is that in the Mikdash, they lit the menorah twice, once in the middle of the day and once at night. That's the Rambam Shita. So the Rashbo already brings many rayas against it, but anyway, the Rambam Shita is like this. So Mela, so that gives you the teretz. The teretz is they did the Nitzachim took place on the 25th, and they lit the menorah immediately in the afternoon of the 20, when it was still 25, and then at night they did it again. So the Rambam Lishitosa is good by stating that the Nitzokhin was on the 25th day. But so this answers the kashya of the Pri Chodesh. Now in Halacha Gimel, the Rambam tells you what was the takana nezer, because they of the Nitzokhin that they had hiskinuch, and they found the parshemen hiskinuch hachomim shebioisu hador sheyushmoinas yomim moelef shetchiloson mileil chamisha v'yeskim bekislev. Again, the Rambam says it started on the 25th. Yimei simcha v'halal. So first of all, you see a chiddush from this Rambam. The Rambam says that Chanukah has the dinim of simcha. See, in the Gemara it doesn't say this. In the Gemara it says it doesn't mention simcha. And many rish hold that there's no din of simcha on Chanukah. But the Rambam says there is, and that's why the Ramon in Shulchan Aruch quotes. Really, the Maharshal or one of them really points out that it's based on the Rambam. The Ramo says that even though there's no chiyuv to have a sudu on Chanukah, only on Purim we make a sudu, but it's an Indian to make a little bit of a sudu. It's not a chiyuv, but it's a proper thing to do on Chanukah as well. And the Ramo based and either the Magen Avraham or the Taz, I forget which one it is, that they point out this Rambam, that the Makor of this Ramo is this Rambam, that there is a din of Simcha on Chanukah, just like there's a din of Simcha on Purim. Right, so we see that every word of the Rambam has a Chiddush. And then the Rambam says, it should be Yemei Simcha v'Halal, u'madlikin behem aneiros be'eret al pisrei abatim. Why? Laharois or lagalois hanes, to display and to reveal the nes. And the yomim eilen nikhoim Chanukah, and they also behesped v'tainis, and that's it. So it's the Rambam when he says the din of the Rambam says the hadlaka. He says, what is the purpose of the hadlaka? Laharois or lagalois hanes. So. In this also lies the chiddush. Now, from the Rambam is telling you a very important din, that the hadlaka is not merely a maisa hadlaka. You do the maisa hadlaka and that's it. The maisa hadlaka has to lead to pirsume nisa. It means that if people will see that you light the menorah, they'll see it, and this will be a pirsume nisa, because you know the nes happened in the Beis HaMikdash. How many people knew about it? The few kohanim who found the pach and they then the whatever happened, but they had to have pilsum. So b'meila the Rambam says that the purpose of lighting the candle is in order laharois or legalois hanes, which means if you should light. That's why we light, the Rambam right away says, we light outside the houses in order that people should see it. In Ein Chinami, according to the Rambam, if you were to light in a place where that din is like this, where no people are around, you're not going to the mitzvah. And later on, in Perek Dalit, the Rambam there's a machlokes, the Rambam against the Rashbo. The Rambam says, the Rambam says, if he did not do it, which kia sachama, madlik v'helech ad shatich l'raga manashukin. How much is it? Half an hour. Now, and then the Rambam adds, obazman ze'enu madlik. The Rambam says, the Rambam sheet is that you light bein hashmashos. But the Rambam says you have half an hour to do it, because the Gemara says there was no electricity, so once it got dark, people did not slam as they walk in the streets. So the Meila, the Rambam's shita is that you cannot light after people stop walking in the streets. So the pshat is this Rambam goes l'shitasai. Since the Rambam holds that the whole purpose of Neros Chanukah is laharos ulegalos hanes, so Mela, you have to do it in a time when there'll be many people in the street and they'll see the menorah, and this will be a pirsum enisa. But stamazoy, it's not a ma'isa hadlaka. It's a ma'isa hadlaka together with pirsum enisa. But a ma'isa hadlaka without pirsum enisa is not, you're not yaitza. The Rashbo argues, the Rashbo says that you can light the whole night for the yevet. Like Atchila, everyone is masking. The Gemara says this, that you should light within half an hour. But the Evet, the Rashbo brings a good ray. The Rashbo says, the Mishnah says in Megillah that all mitzvahs that are in the daytime begin at Alois HaShachar, and it goes until night, and all mitzvahs which are at night begin with Seis HaKechavim, and they go a whole night. All mitzvahs Shebelayla, the whole Layla is this man for the mitzvah. So the Rashbo says this is also like this. Hadlokas Neiros is a mitzvah at night, and therefore you could light the whole night. So what's pshat in the Rambam? The Rambam holds that it's not stamazeh ma'isa hadlokah, a mitzvah which you do at night. It's true, you have to do it at night, but only if there is a pirsum enisa with it. Laharos ulegalos hanes, otherwise not. So the Meila, that is why the Rambam the Shitosoi holds that after half an hour you're not yotzer anymore. We don't paskin like the Rambam, the Rashbo, that we with the Evet you can light Chanukah candles the whole night. So for instance, many people go. You make Chanukah parties, families get together, and all at night. So very often it's a problem with when do they light. Let's say they start and they start a little bit earlier, and then so. But we paskin very often. You could, if you come home, it's as I state the Shulchan Aruch, that if you come home, as long as someone is up, it could be midnight or in the middle of the Namish, could be it's 3 o'clock in the morning, where it's still night. You are allowed to light as long as someone is in the house to see it, but otherwise not. So we do not paskin like this Rambam, but this Rambam goes the Shetosoi. When he says in the beginning that the purpose of Hadlokas Neiros is laharos ulegalos hanes, and the Mele, if you lack laharos ulegalos hanes, therefore, it's not possible to make a hadlokas haneiros. So in every Rambam there's a chiddush here concerning hadlokas haneiros. So the Rashbo, you see, the Rashbo held that the chacham b'masakin a ma'isa hadlokah. That's it. Ma'isa hadlokah at night. So mainly the mitzvah is the whole night. The Rambam says they were not masakin stam as a ma'isa hadlokah. They were masakin a ma'isa hadlokah that results in gilui hanes, pirsum enisa, and otherwise. And otherwise not. Okay, this is I just summarized for you the main chidushim that you find in the Rambam in the beginning. What I want to go over is not so much the halacha, but more the agada, so to say. I want to give I think it may be a new explanation for what Chanukah stands for. There were two nisim that happened in Chanukah. One was, of course, the Nitzachon over the Yevonim, the physical Nitzachon, and two, the nes of the Pach HaShemesh. And in the Gemara asks, "My Chanukah?" So Rashi says, "What's the kasha? My Chanukah al eze nes kavum? On which nes?" Meaning, Rashi is asking, was it on the nest of Rashi? Obviously speaking, there's another nest. So there's only one other nest, the Netzachon over the Yevonim. And Rashi and the Gemara says, because of the Parshah, in the Gemara it's clear that the Parshah, the whole sugya in Shabbos, beginning with Daf Chof Aleph, it goes until Daf Chof Dalet, all the halachas in Shulchan Aruch are based on the Parshah. Hardly, the Netzachon is hardly mentioned. Only in the Alan, where is the Netzachim mentioned in the Alanisim? So really, it's a known kasha. I mean, the Maharal Niprag and others ask the kasha. How can you make an Yom Tov a nes out of the Pach Shemen? There were many nesim that happened in the Beis Hamikdash, which were much greater than the finding of the Pach Shemen, and it lasted for 8 days. I did a nes, but you don't. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos gives you asara nesim, right? The 10 nesim. Look, just take the nes of the fire was able to continue a whole night, and for the by the carbonus, isn't that a bigger nest than finding the Pach Shemet? Nothing. There's no Yom Tov. Nothing. It's a nest, because we don't make a nest. We don't make a nest on some. What was the purpose of the nest? The mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros. From a nest for a mitzvah that enables us to do a mitzvah, for that you don't make a Yom Tov. It's only a nest where we were affected by it and we had hanor from it, like the Netzachon. That's a real nest for which you make a Yom Tov, but otherwise not. But there are various tewitzim to this kasha, but the pshat, by the way, in this is as follows. More or less, what I'm saying is included in what the Maharal says. Now, the Maharal wrote a kunches, Ne'er Mitzvah on Chanukah. It goes over the halachas and also it goes like this. You see, when they found the Pach, the Maral holds that the real purpose of Hanukkah, the Netzachon over the Yevonim, was the realness, not the Pach Shemen. But the Maral does not explain what he did with the Gemara. The Gemara says that it was the Pach Shemen and all the halachas of it. So I'll tell you what I think is the pshat. Now, it's Mustam and Poshet, but it has to be said. You see, in the Torah does not celebrate physical nitzchoinus. It's nice. Purim there's a reason for it, but b'derech klal and a physical nitzachon where the Eden win over the goyim leads to koychi v'yotzen yodi also li'asachai lazeh. When do we celebrate something? If you see in it the Yad Hashem, it has to be a spiritual ness. If it's only a physical ness, that's not enough. There has to be a spiritual ness. So really, to be misakein that it's a Yom Tov and so on, just because they fought against the Yevonim and they won, for that alone they would not have made a Yom Tov out of Hanukkah. But when they saw that there was a ness of the Pach Hashem, and that's purely a spiritual ness, which enabled them to light to be a kind of mitzvah of Hadlakas HaNeiros, then they would prevail the Yom Tov. And that is why you'll see in Alanisim, you see the Pach Hashem is not mentioned. There's a slight reference when you say the Habdiku Neiros B'chatzkos Kodshecho. But it doesn't even spell out the nest, but at least there's a reference to the Hadlaka. But in the Sugya in Shabbos, there's not kimat no mention of the Nitzachon. And in Alanisim, there's no Nisim, because these are two different Nisim. One was a physical nest, for which the Yom Tov came because of this. And the other one is the Pach Shemen was the spiritual nest, for which the Chachamim were Mesakein. The Yom Tov of Chanukah. So therefore, you see, Alanisim where do you say Alanisim? By Moedim, right? Why Dafke by Moedim? Very simple, because Moedim is Hoidor. Hoidor is when a nest happens to you that your life was in danger, like over here. So then you say Hoidor to the Rabbi Nishloim. That's why it's placed Dafke by Moedim. The Hadlakas HaNeiros has nothing to. There's no Haidor in Hadlakas HaNeiros. Otherwise, you would have to make a Haidor for all the nisim that happened in the Mishkan. And it's interesting to note that in the Asara Nisim, they do not mention the Ness of the Parshemen, because the Ness of the Parshemen was not touching about the Ness. The Ness of the Parshemen showed them that the Yad Hashem was there, and therefore they were able to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. But the real Ness, anyway, this is the Maral more, the Maral says often that the biggest Ness was not the Parshemen, the biggest Ness was the Nesachon over the Yevonim. Okay, so now, I just want to explain what I think. I think what I say is based on the Maral Mipchag, and even he does not say he does. I just told you part of what he says, but this part I base it on what he says. See, so I told you that the Maral already asks, why do we celebrate such a? So I'll tell you what I think is the Teretz. I think that the real mahus of Neiros Chanukah is to show the Nitzachon of Chochmas HaTorah over Chochmas Yavon. Because at that time there was an ongoing struggle between the Yavonim and the Eden. You see, the Yevonim believe that they are the biggest Chachamim in the world, and the Yevonim considered that Chokmas HaTorah is their opponent, and therefore they wanted to, since they were so convinced that their Chokmah is the Emes and nothing else is the Emes, so therefore they took we were their opponents, and they had to destroy us. And later, when the Eden won. When the Eden won over the Yevonim, it was not merely a physical Nitzachon. It was also a spiritual Nitzachon. It was the victory of Chochmas HaTorah over Chochmas HaYavon, which the Yevonim Dafke wanted to destroy the Torah. You know, the Gemara, they made the Gezeres, Takonis, that we're not allowed to learn Torah, we're not allowed to make a Bris Milah, we're not allowed to make a Kiddush HaChodesh. That they wanted to erase the Torah. So B'neila, and I'll tell you why this is such a gewaldig in Nitzachon. You see, when we say, it says in Potsi, Kener Mitzvah V'Torah O. So Torah is called O. And the Malchus Yavon wanted to do away with this. So the Medrash and Bereishis, the Medrash on which Pasuk is it, "V'choshech al pnei sehom," which says that in the beginning of Bereishis. So the Medrash says, "Who is choshech? Malchus Yavon. The Yavonim are called choshech, darkness." So really, why? The simple pshat is because they made many gzeres against the Eden. They oppressed us, so that's why they're called choshech. But besides that, there's a deeper meaning in that. See, Chazal consider the whole Chochmas Yavon to be Choshech. The whole Chochmas Yavon is considered darkness. Aye, how can this be? After all, the Yavonim, the Greek philosophers, all they were the greatest philosophers that the mankind ever had. So we call this Choshech. I mean, on the contrary, we would call it the oil, because they contributed so much to mankind. And yet the Chazal call Chochmas Yavon Choshech. So why is that? So I'll tell you what I think is the pshat. True, offhand, it would seem that Chochmas Yavon is the biggest oil there was ever in the world. As you know, until today, Greek philosophy, and it wasn't just philosophy. They had so many other things there. So really, it should have been. But Chazal, who looked deep into something, they saw that the Chochmas Yavon does not lead to all. The Chochmas Yavon leads to Choshech, and I'll explain to you why this is so. The Medrash says in Eicho. Im yoimar lecho odom yesh chokhma bagoyim tamin. If you are told that the goyim possess chachma, intelligence, of course they have. But im yemal lechadam yesh teira ba goyim al tamim. They tell you that the goyim have teira, is al tamim. So what does it mean? What, teira is not a chachma? Teira is also a chachma. So what's the chilek between teira and chachma? So I'll tell you what I think is. I don't think I'm telling you any chidushim, but it has to be spelled out. There's a tremendous chilek. See, a chachma is wisdom. It means, let's say, you go to college and you study your various subjects, and you know these subjects well. But let's say you study chemistry, and you know it well. Now, is there anything in chemistry that teaches you how to live? Or that you should not use chemistry for destruction? No, nothing. Wisdom is, you possess wisdom, but what to do with that wisdom? The wisdom itself does not tell you what to do with it. So take any subject in the world. You could know physics, you could know chemistry, you could know math, and all the natural sciences, but there's nothing in any of these that teaches you how to live. Torah, you see, is the only chokhmah that we call it a Torah's Chaim, right? Torah is the only chokhmah which tells you what to do with the chokhmah, how to live your life, and come closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and to be decent people, and live a Torah-like life. There's no other chokhmah in the world except Torah that does this. There's nothing in chemistry that teaches you what to do with the chemistry. It's possible to be a great scholar or a great scientist, but yet to be a maneuver. For instance, it's known that I think it was Aristotle. He was a womanizer. And he was an adulterer. So they say when he was once asked, you should be Isaac in such things, you're such a great mind, that you're the biggest philosopher, and so on. So he told them, apparently, when I contemplate life, I'm a philosopher. But otherwise, I'm someone else. That's what he said. That's a known. I'm not. I wasn't. This is a known story that is told about the Greek philosophers. But I'll give you a better mashal than the Greek philosophers. So what do you see from this? You see the greatest Greek philosophers. They were adulterers, and yet, even though they were so learned and so on, it shows that. Knowledge and life and maisim are two different departments. It's possible that to have a lot of knowledge, but not to know what to do with that knowledge, because there's nothing in that knowledge to tell you what to do with it. You just have wisdom. For instance, Rabbi Yisroel Salanter used to say like this: the Welt sagt, as Reuven weist, was hat es zu Shimon. If Reuven knows something, what does it got to do with Shimon? Shimon doesn't know it. And ich sag, that's what Rabbi Yisroel Fonte used to say. And ich sag, as Reuven weiß, was hat es zu Reuven. It means even if Reuven knows something, Reuven himself doesn't know what it is. Because he knows, what Rabbi Yisroel Fonte is saying is what I just told you. It's possible to have a lot of chokhmah, but not to know what to do with the chokhmah. Nothing comes out of it. So Torah is the only chokhmah which teaches you what if you take a Shulchan Aruch, you'll see the adinim for every aspect of life, anything, and there are so many dinim on every little part, because the Torah teaches you not just the wisdom. The Torah teaches you the Torah's Chayim, how to live a Torah-like life, and there is no other thing in the whole. You can go to all the universities you want, you're not going to find you're not going to find something what we call Torah. And the best raya is, to prove this to you is, and that is, you cannot argue with this argument. The best raya is, it's Germany. The Germans in their time were the most cultured nation in the whole world. In every area of knowledge, whether it was science or whether it was music, the arts, the humanities, the Germans. Let's say who was the greatest literary person at that time? And who was it? Goethe. You heard of Goethe? Do you guys go to college? How many of you heard of Goethe? Maybe I don't pronounce it correctly, but Goethe was the biggest literary person in Germany, not just in Germany, in the whole world. Goethe and the other one was a Yid, but he became a Meshumet. We heist this, the famous poet. Why do I forget his name? He became a Meshumet. I forgot his name. Why do I forget his name? Goethe, I remember Goethe's name, and just a second. Who's a very famous poet? During Hitler's time, in the schools they taught his poetry. Anyway, they were on top of literature, of art. The scientists, so in every aspect, in music, in the Chabgira, Beethoven, Bach, Mozart, all these people, they were Germans. And they were the greatest. They were the greatest in music until today. Nobody beats a Beethoven, or whether it's the fifth or the ninth. It doesn't matter. Everyone knows about Beethoven, and really, it's great art. But it was all in German, and yet, what did the Germans do with their Chochmah? They killed 6 million Jews, and they killed more than 6 million Jews. Now they know the Germans are very exact, very meticulous. They found all the papers. They knew in every concentration camp how many Yidden with names. They have all the names, and it comes out. I think I don't know the exact number, but I think it's twice. It's not just 6 million. It's more closer to 12 million. But anyway, that they did, that they knew how to keep, how they were good to keep track of every person and all the information about the person. On that they were very good. But what did they do? They used they made a science out of killing people. They figured out their way to kill 6 million Jews. Let's say 6 million Jews. In the cheapest way, to gas them, and they discover, and they wouldn't cost them. Whatever they did was done with seichel. That they had, they were highly intelligent. But what did they do with their intelligence? It was destructive. So they knew chemistry, but what did they do with the chemistry? They gassed people. Huh? They used it. Yeah, they knew technically how to use it, but they did not use it for what you're supposed to use it. So it's possible to be a great scholar, a great everything, and be a Rotzeach at the same time. They were Rotzchem. In Hitler's government, you had a bunch of PhDs, right? Dr. Himmler and Dr. Goebbels, they all these big Chachamim. They were literally murderers. They killed people with their own hands. So what do you see? Now, let's say before the Holocaust, if you had been asked, is Germany Choshech, is Germany O? A lot of people would say it's O. They contributed so much to mankind. But in reality, Germany is like Yavon. Now you understand why Chazal called the Greeks Choshech. But despite all their knowledge, when it came to life, they could be Rotzken, they could be adulterers, and be the biggest philosopher in the world. So after the Holocaust, we know that if you ask, what is Germany, Choshech, or the Territz Choshech? Either was there such intelligence? So you see, intelligence and the Maisim are two different departments. A person could be the biggest scientist, the biggest philosopher, and be a Ritzayach or an adulterer at the same time, and then it doesn't bother them. Why? Because there's nothing in their wisdom that teaches them how to live and to live an ethical life. Even though the Germans are very proud of their ethics, but in every university in Germany, they have professors of ethics, where they teach during the Holocaust in the German universities, whether it was in Berlin or in other towns, they had great scholars who taught ethics, and you know the these professors were given. They were such terrible anti-Semites. Now, how can you rectify this? To be a great scholar, a great scientist, and what have you, and be a Ritzayah, and teach ethics. So obviously, their ethics was just like a wisdom, but it was not the mindset. When it came down to it, they used all their knowledge and all their science to destroy. They wanted to destroy just like by Hanukkah, except by Hanukkah, the Yevonim wanted to destroy Torah, because as I said before, they considered Torah to be the opponents of Chokhmas Yavan. So Mele, this explains why the Chazal called Yavan Choshech, not Or. Why? Because the Chachamim knew the Chokhmas Yavan can lead to. It could lead to Ratzicha. And the statement, so the best marshal is Germany. That's exactly the same thing. And you cannot argue, no one can refute this argument. And B'meila, now I'm coming to the last part. You see, the Maharal, has a cloud. That he goes with, you know, the Maral has a lot of Kabbalah in Yonim. So the Maral says that the whole world, the natural world, nature, goes by number seven. It's a known Maharal, I'm sure. And that's number seven represents nature. What is above seven, eight, and so on is the metaphysical world. It means lamala min ateva. For instance, the Maral says that a boy is born for 7 days, he's an oval. So naturally, a boy is born an oval. On the eighth day, we give him a bris, and that from an oval he becomes a full yid. So he says, number eight is lamala min ateva, and therefore it's stronger than number seven. So Mele, based on this, I that's my teretz to the Beis Yosef's kasha. Why is it that we keep 8 days of Chanukah and not 7 days? After all, the nests only 1 day anyway, it would have burned. The teretz is because, as I said in the beginning, the real mahus of Chanukah is the Nitzachon, the victory of Chokhmas HaTorah over Chokhmas Yavan. Chokhmas HaTorah is Lamala Min HaTeva. It's the Chokhmas Yavan is number is the natural. Like today, you study natural science. You study all these things. There's tremendous Chokhmah involved. But it has nothing to do with life. Our life is based not just on the natural, but on the metaphysical, on the malam and ateva. And b'meila, that is why it has to be dafka number eight. It has to be dafka in order to show the nitzochon of chokhmas hatorah of chokhmas yavan is it's eight over seven. So by if we would keep 7 days, it would not show this Indian. And just I'll finish with this. you'll find the Chachamim, you find it in the Gemara, the Chachamim didn't just know Torah. The Chachamim knew, they knew natural sciences. The Gemara has many, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanani had debates with the Goyish scientists. They used to come to him with their problems, and he would solve it for them. He would tell them what how an animal lives, and what how many children and offspring an animal can have, and when and what. The Chachamim knew all this. I'll give you a better marshal. No, I mind the Chazal, the Chabkiret, but let's say in our times, the Chazoinish, we all heard, right? The Chazoinish was the Gadol Hador. He was, in his time, he was the Manik of the Dor, he was the real Gadol Hador. But you know, the Chazoinish, I don't know if you are aware of it, have you ever read the biography, the Pei Hador, about the Chazoinish? There are many books about him, but the Chazoinish used to tell people medical aids what to do. It's written up in the Pei Hador, but I know it personally. He used to tell people how to heal themselves and what to do when to make an operation. So I'll tell you this one little story. My late wife, she was a monk. She had a chavet in Gateshead. She married someone, and when they came to visit us in Borough Park, and when I saw her husband, I thought I would faint. He didn't look human. He was completely deformed. Completely deformed. And as a matter of fact, I couldn't eat after I met him. Anyway, he stayed, but when I began talking to him, I saw he's a highly intelligent person. So he told me what happened. When he was 8 years old, they discovered a tumor. Anyway, the doctors gave up hope on him because they said there's nothing to be done. They said operating on him will not do anything. Anyway, to make it short, the father was of Chumayit, he was a Rav in Germany, so he went to see the Chazoinish. And the Chazoinish, after knowing all the facts, he took out a piece of paper, he wrote down, he made a diagram, and he told him, he says, go to this and this doctor, tell him that I sent you, and they should operate, and he drew a diagram exactly how, where they should operate and what they should do exactly, and tell them that I said so. And anyway, they went to this doctor. This doctor had never heard of the Chazoinish. Why should he know the Chazoinish? He was a secular doctor, and he didn't want to do it. So they promised him that no matter what happens, even if the child dies, they will not sue him, and they'll sign all the they signed paper. Finally, they did make the operation, and the operation was successful. But except after the operation, they needed radiation, and the radiation transformed him. He became that's what happens. By the radiation is very it had very strong. So his ears they came off. He put it back. Every part of his body was. It was mamish when I think about it. I was so shocked that when I saw him. And anyway, but Lemaisa, the last years of his life, he got married. He had 6 children. And he died. He was a young man yet when he died. And he lived in Lakewood. I forgot his name, but in Lakewood they all know about this. He was a genius in computers, and he used to in Lakewood they have a very strong computer system. They know how to work it. He was the head of it, and so they gave him pasha to make a panasa, and he had six children, and it came from the Chazon Ish. Now, how did the Chazon Ish know how to tell how to make an operation? That comes on Tzvit Hashem Le'ireyot. The great tzaddikim know the Seudas HaTeva more than others. So what the doctors didn't know, the Chazon Ish knew. And there are many stories like this about the Chazon Ish. And this one I heard myself. I mean, the person to whom it happened told it to me. And if you read in the Peir HaDor, this Maaseh is written up. But this is just one of the Maaseh. The Chazon Ish, I won't keep you, but it's not just the Chazon Ish. You'll find many other Gedolei Yisrael throughout the ages. What they knew about natural science, the scientists didn't know. And that comes from Soyed Hashem B'Yireyot. And so therefore, that is the Chokmas HaTorah over Chokmas Yovan. And I think that is the realness of Chanukah. The Chanukah teaches us that the Chokmas HaTorah is greater than Chokmas Yovan.